Luke, we are well into our stride of perspective episodes for the season so far. Uh-huh. Our episode today was with Josepha Hayden Champosi, and this was quite the treat. It's been when did she step down as a executive director?
In October 2024, so almost a year, almost 2 years ago.
It seems like not that long ago, and also such a long time. A lot of things have happened in the WordPress project since then. There's been this little like AI thing that has happened.
We talked about that. We avoided, I think, a lot of the controversy that's happened in that space.
One of the things that I really enjoyed and was looking forward to in this conversation is Josepha is one of the foremost thought leaders in my mind on ecosystem thinking, and has so much direct experience in it from her time in WordPress. When she left WordPress, she spent some time at Reddit, and now she works in municipal government. And while we talked about that, and I thoroughly enjoyed that, it was also really interesting to hear the two of you talking about AI and scooters and walking versus running. And we covered a lot of ground in a short period of time.
If you want to have a really good time with this crossword episode, grab a bottle of your favorite drink and have a shot every time someone says the word ecosystem. Or AI. That'll be just about every podcast, though. Man, you'll get wasted listening to podcasts that talk about AI.
Oh, man. Well, it was fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was great catching up with her and covering the ground that we did. I got a few things that just in listening to the conversation that I hadn't thought of in quite some time, and also some new perspective on some of the things that I've been thinking about. So it was fantastic, and we'll get right to it after a word from our sponsors.
Hi, it's me, Luke, and I'm doing an ad read for ServBolt. You know, I don't love doing these ad reads because on the one hand, it's an ad, it kind of feels disingenuous, but on the other hand, ServBolt really do have some amazing hosting. And so I'll tell you what happened with me. I migrated a WooCommerce site. And before the migration, I was getting a time to first byte of 3,200 milliseconds. After the migration, and I kid you not, this is absolutely true, my site loaded in 570 milliseconds. It was 5.7 times faster. Incredible. It was snappier. It was so noticeable. You do not need to migrate to a whole different e-commerce platform just to make your e-commerce store load faster. You can ask for a speed comparison test, and that includes a managed migration. And there's also a special offer available to Crossword listeners, 30% off your first 3 months at servebolt.com/crossword.
Ollie is my personal toolkit of choice for building fast, good-looking sites on WordPress using the site editor. Mike and Patrick have been doing great work on Ollie for years, and it just keeps getting better, including support for WooCommerce and their new AI tools. Go to olliewp.com/crossword to learn more and enter crossword at checkout for 15% off Ollie Pro. Runtype is a platform for building AI products created by a team that loves open source and the open web. Runtype makes it easier to deliver AI projects on top of WordPress while giving you control over the models, tools, and user experience. For Crossword listeners, the Runtype team are offering time at no cost to talk through what you're building and share practical input. They've also just open sourced Persona.js, which is an AI chat UI library that works with any site, and they'd love your feedback. To learn more, go to runtype.com/crossword. Josepha, how would you explain what ecosystem thinking is to someone if you're at a dinner party?
Oh, my dinner party pitch for ecosystem thinking. I've had to do this a lot recently. And so on the one hand, you have this concept of ecosystem thinking. And on the other hand, you have this concept of systems thinking. And systems thinking is a little bit more understandable in my experience, just because people understand that to have any sufficiently large, complex organization, you have to have some systems to make sure it works. Like if you've got a train, you need some rails, you need some tracks. But for ecosystem thinking, you then can kind of back your way into it from there and say, like, if you have this product that is extensible, that you can build on, that you can do things with, you also have to have a way for people to figure out that it exists, what to do with it, how to do things with it, where they can create services, what holes there are, what gaps there are in the infrastructure that exists. And sort of bring around this whole concept of the roads and bridges of what you're working on. And like the roads and bridges and applying that to whatever sort of product or company you have that you're working with, I think is an easy to grasp thing. Most of us live on a street. Most of us have to get on public transit at some point. And so I like to look after the streets and future storefronts of any sort of community that's building up around a product.
So for someone who might be building a product on the open web, whether it's open source or proprietary, from your lens and experience, what's the relevance or importance of ecosystem thinking? There's so many things you have to do to build a product. Where does ecosystem thinking come into it?
Yeah. The relevance of ecosystem building and thinking through systems as you go is to make sure that, one, anyone who comes to use your product or take part in your services, they don't have to know exactly the right person to get the best answer for something. But on the other hand, it also gives you an opportunity to like make fertile ground for other more brilliant people than you to do things that you hadn't imagined yet. And so knowing what the foundational elements are certainly can help you to make space for future genius. That sounds so wild when I say that. It sounds very woo-woo. But also, I know that I'm not the smartest person in any room. And honestly, you shouldn't be if you're going to be trying to do something great.
So it's been a minute since you left the WordPress project.
Yeah.
What have you been doing since?
I am currently hanging around in municipal government. I'm getting very involved in...
Hold on. Sorry, for an Australian here, what's a municipal government?
So I'm on my city council. I was appointed and then elected to the governing body for the city. And so we have staff that does a lot of like the enforcement of rules and regulations, but that we have a city council that pulls together policy and advises on, not advises, sets the plan for the city. So that's what I've been doing.
And how do you enact ecosystem thinking in that role?
Yeah. So on the one hand, a lot of it is sort of there by default because the infrastructure has to exist for a city to exist. It's rare that you have a city that's just like, we're here now. We used to be a farm and now we're a town.
Yeah.
Although my town just had its 75th birthday on July 2nd. And so
happy birthday.
Young by United States town standards, I suppose, and global standards. Yeah. But I think that what really became crystal clear for me as I started doing this work was that there is nothing that a city is planning to do. There's nothing that a large organization like this is planning to do that started planning 2 months ago and definitely is going to get done in the next 2 months. Like everything is on a 5-year cycle, 6-year cycle, 10-year cycle.
To the ecosystem you left.
Exactly. You have to not only like always be looking ahead to what might come in the future, which trying to predict the future for anything is obviously hard, but then also being fully aware of any partnering group that you're going to have to work with, also what's on the horizon for them for the next 10 years. And so like that's anyone that needs to partner from a land perspective or from a financial perspective, and just know like are you going to have more money for the following types of things in the future? Is that a thing that we can also then have some of the money of? Is that land that you're using going to be a thing that we need in the near future so that we can, you know, move utilities around, things like that? And it really has made me have a really wide lens that I don't think that I really had before, just because, like, when you're leading WordPress, like, you're the only WordPress in town. And so everybody's really watching what you're doing, and you kind of live in a fishbowl. And now I have to sort of be on the other side.
So I have limited background and context for municipal government. It's something I found interesting for as long far back as I can remember. I'm curious, do you interface with like economic development? Are there other groups that are focused on like recruiting businesses to the area? Like what sort of phase or it's been a long time since I've been involved. That was my context, is getting involved with some of these economic development initiatives and seeing like them try to recruit big businesses to the area and what that looked like. How does that intersect with the type of work that you're doing?
For me, we're small and landlocked, and so this city does not have a lot of recruitment that happens, but we do work with a lot of land developers, retail developers, things like that, to sort of get the land that we do have revitalized. Yep. Our town is old, but certainly there are towns around us that have people who specifically go out and like develop business opportunities and bring those to those cities.
So the reason why I ask, or what's top of mind for me, it's interesting to, there's this incentives piece within ecosystem thinking. And at least what I've always found intriguing about it is like, sure, you could take an approach where you're trying to control and like, this is how it's going to happen. And this is, you know, this is where it's going to go. But because there's all these different parties and all these different incentives for any number of reasons, there might be like a large business that wants to relocate or locate into it. Maybe they grew up there. Like there's all sorts of reasons that are outside of your control. And when I think about like an ecosystem, it seems to be so much more about like understanding its shape. And what are the key parts of it, and like understanding like how it works, interacts, and ultimately the focus, at least in my head, is on how do you influence its growth. But at the end of the day, you can't force it. You can't predict what's going to happen. You can try to look ahead. And I'm curious, like you're in it. I'm like, this is something that I think about, but you lived it for a long time in the WordPress space. You're now looking at it through another lens, municipal government. When you think about like, there's all these different parties that have interests in it. How do you think about the role of those who are like in responsible for that ecosystem and how they relate to their influence on it or like it's like that question of like influence versus control. Like, where do you sit on that?
Your circle of influence versus your circle of control, always an important thing to know. So one of the things that is really different with what I'm doing at the moment is the incentive structure in general. Like there are incentives in open source that are so rooted in impact, right? Like having the right set of people with the right mindset who care about the right future of something really matters. And so it's a collective incentive system. But the incentive structures that exist here are almost entirely monetary and not always all your money, right? So you have public money, you have private money, and then you have philanthropic money. Those are the three kind of areas where you can get some leverage in any project that you're working on. And so finding ways to make sure that it is enticing enough as an incentive to bring in businesses that are like what you want. Right? What you want your storefronts to be filled with, while also making sure that everybody who is living in your city also wants those businesses there and also wants their money to go to those businesses. And it is a really hard sell. I say often that potholes are not partisan. I'm not here to figure out how anybody is aligning on our biggest like political issues. But there are things that we always can predict from a future perspective. And I know that I said that like 4 or 5 years ago in WordPress, like these are the things that we always know people will want more of. we should try to aim for getting those really good. And like for a city, like they want more amenities, they want fewer crappy streets, and they want better schools and parks for their kids. Like that's what you always are going to be able to tell. So for any time that you're like balancing incentives to get something while giving away other things, the things that you have to figure out are like the top three predictable items that everybody's going to want, no matter where that future takes you.
So for us living over here in WordPress land, what do you think those nonpartisan issues are that we can all get behind? Because I think it's safe to say there has been a little political strife over in our part of the world.
I've heard. I think that the three things that are always predictable for the future of WordPress are that people who are building websites or building apps on top of WordPress would like it to be more secure, both from like a core perspective and everything that you can bolt onto core. Like both of those need to be secure. I think they always want it to be fast. Sometimes not faster, just not any slower is going to count as well. And then also easy to use. And that's not in an easy to use, like I have my scissors and I know how to use my scissors way, but easy as in like, I know exactly what I wanted to do. I was able to figure out the gaps to what would make that possible. And then it was easy for me to get it done. And the get it done part is negotiable. Like you personally can do it. You can vibe code it using your favorite GPT. You can pay somebody. It doesn't matter. Just like the question is, from an ecosystem perspective, again, like, is it easy for people to tell what comes in the basic bits? Is it easy to tell how far away their preferred future is? And is it easy for them to get there? That's everything that everyone ever wants.
Mm. So secure, fast, and easy to use. Jonathan, I have a question to you. Do you think WordPress is making progress in that direction? Is it becoming more secure and faster and easier to use?
I don't know. As a constituent,
shouldn't you know?
Right. You would think.
As a constituent. Yeah.
Right. Okay. But as someone who, like, one of the things that I think it's an important moment for this ecosystem, I'm noticing, and Luke continues to give me a hard time about it, that I'm doing less with WordPress and more with like just static sites. Mm-hmm. I'm taking things off of WordPress. I'm in this moment we've been talking about, like, over the arc of this season of, like, it feels temporary, and there's this part of me that's like, oh, I'm expecting that WordPress is going to get easier to use and, like, more aligned. I don't generally think that much about the security side of it, for better or for worse. I've sort of taken for granted that, oh, it's pretty secure. And the performance I do care about, but we're in this moment right now as I'm listening and thinking about it that I'm not sure that those – I don't see explicit evidence that those remain like key priorities, right? Right now we're trying to figure out where does AI fit into this stuff? And like, are we making that, I suppose, like easy to use? But it's unclear to me. And when I think about it, I see this tension between what in a proprietary ecosystem become like, you know, you're either paying attention to these things and trying to guide and influence them or you're not. And then in open source, it's like, well, who is doing that? And like, how do you measure whether that's being effective or not? And there's a lot of like, what's interesting to work on is kind of what gets the attention. And we're not necessarily connecting that to like, how is that impacting the ecosystem? There's a lot of good work that happens. It's just hard to know, like, you know, how, at least as an observer, if you're not in it all the time, like, is this taking us? What direction is this taking us? And as someone who has a vested interest from a personal and professional perspective in the WordPress space, it's a little bit painful to me that I don't know the answer to that. There's a lot of activity. There's a lot of things that are happening. But it's like, I'm still sort of waiting to see, like, where is this going to go?
I was hoping to get through the podcast without mentioning AI, but you did it first, Josepha. So I think
I did.
Adding on to that, this current, it seems like the current big push, the current big focus within WordPress, the current interesting thing to work on, as you put it, Jonathan, is AI tooling. And I'd suggest that AI, these AI features that we're working on, is making WordPress less secure, no faster, and harder to use.
For what it's worth, number one thing from me is that I remain a strong supporter of WordPress. I really, my whole life and my family's life was changed by being able to learn how to work with and in WordPress. And so I always hope for its best future. I really do think that I'm not the only one whose entire life has been changed by that piece of software.
Absolutely.
And also by like the basic concepts of open source, like that truly changed my understanding of how economies can work. And so number one, say that right away. And number two, I am not doing anything with it right now. So I actually don't know anything about the way that AI is in or not in WordPress at the moment.
I think through the lens of ecosystem thinking, what I find interesting about this is like let's take the WordPress ecosystem before AI. Mm-hmm. And right now what we're seeing is like, how is it trying to adapt to this? And there's a lot of energy and there's been a lot of effort and ramifications of that. Luke is on the plugin review team, and there's been direct impact to their workflows, and you know, they're seeing all these submissions go up. So I look at this through the lens of, like, when we could, in this case, a technology comes in to an ecosystem, it's going to have an impact on it one way or the other. And there's, I think, a difference between how a proprietary like ecosystem like might approach that for better or for worse. And then there's, in the case of open source, to me as an observer, there's a bit of this feeling that it's happening to it. I could imagine the municipal context, for instance, like a large event outside the control. Like right now where I live up in the Pacific Northwest, there's a lot of talk of like data centers like coming in, and the locals are like saying, hey, I don't want anything to do with that. And I'm looking at this through the lens of like technology, and I'm like, oh, I don't have a general opposition to data centers. But then suddenly I'm hearing it through the lens of what local constituents are concerned about. Right. And it's like, oh, this AI thing is having a direct impact on that as well. And the question becomes, if you're thinking responsibly about an ecosystem that you're caring for, like, how do you relate to these big like events that these changes in expectations and understanding? I'm curious for your thoughts on that.
There is, so it is so difficult. We are going through many of those types of events here in the city that I am in, where we have people who are like, we want the best for what we have and to keep what we have. And we have people who are saying, we want to be prepared for whatever is coming up in the future. And so like, we also need to be forward thinking about how to solve our problems moving forward. And that is like one of the hardest things when you are thinking about how to build and maintain any ecosystem, or if you already have an ecosystem that's up and running, just how to make it more efficient. Like, it is so difficult to have to look at, for instance, right now in my city, we have a number of streets that are absolutely failing because this town was built in 1939 before there were laws. And so we just kind of like put concrete on the dirt. And that's not how you build a road. And now there are also rules about how you build roads. A lot of those streets are really close to like full-on failure. And having the conversation with people who live on those streets about, okay, if it's a year away from failure anyway, let's let it fully fail so that we can have the most benefit out of the $2, $3 million that it's going to take to make that happen. Like, no one enjoys the reality of an ecosystem maintenance moment when you're like, the best choice right now is to let that break completely and then we'll fix it. Like, that is the least comfortable exchange that you ever have to work your way through. But also, it is the smartest use of time and money. And isn't that terrible when people are like, look, I can see the dirt in my street. where my child is playing? And you have to say, yes, I know. And also, it's going to cost more money if we don't let it fail first. Or there are other things that are more pressing immediately that cannot fail. Like, we can't have an entire water main fail or something while we're working on this. Like, that is those balances that you have to take into it are really difficult. And it sort of gets into that issue that anyone has when they're working on explaining things that are complicated or invisible or just kind of generally boring. Like, you have, like, the distance between what you said and what you thought you said and what people actually took away with them is vast, right? Because, like I said, it is going to cost us slightly more if we leave this for 2 years and let it fully fail and fully reconstruct it. And what they heard was, we're going to let your stuff break. And technically that part is true. They don't care where the money comes from. They don't care about what our efficiency of budget is, you know? And I think that we ran into that a lot in WordPress. And there's another thing, like one of the first philosophical changes that I took into the WordPress project that really was unpopular, to cycle all the way back to Luke's earlier thought there, and Jonathan, yours as well, like this idea of participating without an agenda, but also with an aim, right? Like, it is great to work on only the fun stuff. We see that here in my city also. Like, the metro area that I'm in is a World Cup host. And so, like, everyone's like, yeah, World Cup. And also, there are some people who are like, okay, but we have to make sure there are bathrooms. We have to make sure there is public transit. Like, there are people who are doing the parts that make sure all the fun stuff can happen. But if you only ever look at all the fun stuff, then you don't necessarily get to a point where you can enjoy that, just because there's too much energy kind of in a diaphanous, cloudy, we're in the right direction way, as opposed to working on some stuff that we know we have to do, even if it's not fun or even if it is the most boring thing you've ever done. Who likes to talk about the public toilets? I mean, me, obviously, I do
right, but but you notice, people would notice if they weren't there. Like, that's something that becomes an issue, like, pretty quickly, right? Where it's like, we'll get to that. We'll deal with that later. And suddenly you have an influx of people and you don't have facilities for it. It's going to become a problem.
What's the public toilets of the WordPress world? That's what I want to know.
Gosh, what were the public toilets when I first brought that up? Gosh, I can't remember what it was, but I do remember that I met a bunch all of a sudden of, like, long tenured old WordPress people at the time. This was 10 years ago. And they're like, now listen, you. And I was like, yeah, I get it. I would hate me too, but also I think we still have to do it.
Yeah, people can be like that. Hey, they can have their, like, their mission, their thing that they're, that they're banging on about. And sometimes those are important things, but I encounter this a lot, actually, in plugin review, people who just won't stop on, WordPress needs to change this. Responsive controls, I think, maybe is one of those which is being worked on now.
I want to come back for a moment to this idea of the data centers example that I referenced.
Yeah.
Because when it first came up to me locally, I saw it as a positive. I'm like, oh, cool. You know, data centers, I like data centers, and it's going to bring some opportunities to the area, et cetera. And then I was surprised to see these, like, strong negative reactions from folks. And I looked into it a bit, and there's some interesting points. It's hard for me to evaluate, like, how legitimate the concerns are about the, like, water usage, et cetera. But I think it's a good example where, yeah, I can see how in an ecosystem, you're going to have people, whether they're accurate or not, are going to have, like, big feelings about things. And that seems like that's an important thing to navigate. In open source, it's something that I think it's a bit counterintuitive, because it's if you pay attention to the loudest voices, then it can seem like you're making progress. But from my perspective, I feel like you could end up missing, like, the bathrooms, so to speak. You could end up missing some, like, core things that need to be addressed. And when I think about the data centers example, I don't actually have a strong enough, I don't know whether it's a good thing or not. Like whether this is, cause what I hear people say is like, not near me. I'm like, well, where then? And, it's like, you're just kind of like punting this, like throwing out this problem. Like someone else needs to deal with this. And yeah. Versus, which seems like the path of least resistance. I'm curious for if you have any thoughts on that, like through the lens of your experience.
The not in my backyard attitude of things that we have to do to make progress.
Yeah.
You're asking the easy questions 30 minutes in. Good job. yeah, gosh, that is a real problem, especially because sometimes in any ecosystem, in any organization, in any city, people moved there. People chose that thing because they liked what it did and what it's doing now. And so when you look at, okay, but we have to change it in order to tackle this problem, whatever that problem is, it is so hard to see how that problem relates to you at all. And therefore, why you should be in favor of a change, or at minimum, concerned that the change is happening, right? And so like in the case of data centers, and this comes up a lot for cities around housing. Housing inventory is at a bit of a problem state across the U.S. I don't know if you knew that, Luke. There's no reason for you to know, but it is
I think it's
statement.
Global. Yeah.
a global housing inventory issue. And so there are some obvious answers to it, including apartments. And so if you moved to a city or a suburb to feel like I'm in a tiny town, but I'm close to a city so that I can still see basketball games or go to the opera, and I'm close enough to an airport that I can leave easily or whatever. When someone shows up and they're like, all right, we're going to increase population density by adding 400 apartments, like
this sounds
that
way
feels
too familiar
wrong to
me.
To you, yeah. Right? And you can't quite put your finger on why you don't like it, but you do know why it's not currently a problem for you.
I know
right?
why. And it's so, because of the kids on e-bikes. That's why I don't like it. Those gosh darn kids.
I am currently in our local working group about e-mobility, small mobility devices, because it's a that's. Guys, let me tell you something.
Please.
This particular one is one of the things that has the closest intersection between my open source background and my current like policy municipal governance work that I'm doing at the moment. Because one, I am absolutely 100% in favor of assistive technologies that help people have equal experiences. I'm a recent adult return to bicycling, and I don't want to get stuck on a hill. So I have an e-bike that I use, so I never have to worry about being stuck on a hill. My husband, when we first started doing this, was just on a leg-powered bike. That was very brave of him, considering I had a powered bike. And there are e-scooters, which are a real problem. There are all of these mobility devices that are borderline ungoverned, and you don't want to take them away from the people who need them or use them as primary transportation, but you also don't want to leave them ungoverned and run into the issues that we keep seeing around the U.S., which is a lot of child mortality incidents, which, to say it less politically, kids dying on these things. Partially there, and here's where it all feels like everything I've ever done in open source. So partially the answer is about the rules, and partially the answer is helping people who are enforcing the rules know what they're looking for in the way of what's good and what's bad, what behavior we want to incentivize versus the behavior we want to disincentivize. But also the long-term solution is getting more kids walking, which sounds crazy, but it is, because people who are on 2 feet, people who are on 2 wheels, people who are on 4 wheels are all part of traffic. And if your first experience of being a going fast enough to harm yourself part of traffic is on an e-bike that will go 40 miles an hour, then that is actually incredibly dangerous. It's going too fast for you to make the decisions that you have to make. to be a safe part of traffic, and you didn't have any experiences with it prior to that. And so, like, we need to get kids walking on streets so they know how traffic flows and how to do it safely and when to look across streets and not always, by the way. And then, like, have the basic knowledge so that that is in their bodies and memory before they're going 40 miles an hour with nothing around them. And then before they are in cars. Now, if you're driving a car, you have a lot of schooling you have to do. If there's training, people don't let you just get in it and use it immediately. You have to be licensed. There are lots of regulations around it. We don't want that for bicycles because not everybody can get that. And so this is the way that ecosystem development works. Like, you have to get down to the heart of the matter, both from a philosophical standpoint and a long-term standpoint, and try to get it all to work together simultaneously. And that particular work absolutely reminds me of the work in WordPress all the time.
It's interesting how, like, hidden so much of this can be. Like, as I heard you describe that, Luke, I thought about, I was out walking recently with my infant, and with no warning, like, an e-bike zipped past me, and it was a child. And so I can relate to that, because if I think about that, like, what we're used to with bicyclists is, like, they'll signal, they'll say something like, "Hey, I'm coming up behind you," or so whatever else. And there's a whole series of things. I imagine everything that you just said, Josepha, is something that most parents purchasing or grandparents purchasing, like, the latest e-bike for the child is not thinking about. They're not thinking about these, like, long-term ramifications or the risks or why it would be important for someone to walk before they're getting on one of those, which makes a lot of sense to me. If you haven't experienced someone zipping by you and what that feels like, then how could you be sensitive to it? So there's a whole series of things. Meanwhile, there are people manufacturing these and people selling these that have incentives to just do more of it and get more of them out there. And there's all these, like, things around that. And if you're thinking about this ecosystem and what's good for, in this case, the citizens within it, you just get overwhelmed with so with a problem like that. And the way when I think about this through the realm of, like, building products and sort of open source, like, as it grows, there's, like, an order of magnitude of complexity that just continues ramping up, that as a human, you just can't, an individual cannot keep track of all of those things. So it seems to me, it becomes really important to, like, be clear on those things that matter. Like, generally people agree that, we don't want our kids dying, right?
Yes. I mean, I hope so.
Yeah. So
you take that as a
general truth. Then from there, it's like, okay, so that becomes a lens through which you may be able to successfully advocate for those rules, or, like, to help parents, like, be more thoughtful, or to talk to manufacturers about, like, making sure that they're putting governing devices on these. Like, there's a whole series of things that could be done.
Yeah.
But, like, that's quite overwhelming. So if someone is, like, sitting, starting to think about, I should put more thought into this ecosystem around what I'm building, where do they start?
So, for one, if you have no idea, if you've been listening to us now for 35 minutes and do not have any idea what we mean by ecosystems thinking or systems thinking, number one, my elevator pitch did not work. Number two, read the book Brave New Work. It is by Aaron Dignan, probably saying his name wrong. It's fine. It's very easy to find. It's a pretty steep curve to figuring out what's going on there, but it's written in a way that it makes it first clear that systems thinking can apply to any sufficiently complex organization, and then also helps you to understand what sufficiently complex means. And in general, it means, like, if you have more than four stakeholders, if you have more than four different appearing types of people involved in your thing, that's complicated, which feels like a really low threshold, but is also basically true. And so I think that's a great place to start. There are, I think, podcasts also, if you're not a reader, but I did not listen to them because I read it.
So. Reading in general, I highly recommend learning how to read. Yeah, it's helpful.
Yeah. Learn how to read. Find a book club. They're all the rage right now. Thank you, Dua Lipa.
As you're talking, I can't help but make the connection between these people who are just very obsessive about injecting AI into every part of their lives and kids on e-bikes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of similarities there.
Tell us the connective tissue.
Well, they're both going way too fast. That's the main thing. And not aware and completely inconsiderate of the people around them and the community around them that's going, what are you doing with this thing? Are we sure we want to be doing this? Slow down. Sometimes I feel just like an old man sitting on his porch. I don't have a porch. I'm just imagining myself in the United States, imagining myself in your municipality, Josepha, and sitting on my porch with my great big patriotic flag there, shaking my fist at these kids on e-bikes as they go past. And that's how I feel a lot of the time in WordPress, because everything all the time is AI, and it feels like there's very few people that are calling for that to slow down.
Yeah.
Have you experienced that in your sort of part of the world?
I'm pretty skeptical of AI, but also see that it is a tool that is essentially requisite at the moment. Like, it's required for people to use it. I
hate that. No, Josepha, stop. I want to disagree with you. Can I disagree with you?
Okay, of course.
We have agency. We can choose. Like, I've heard you say that. I've heard other people say that a lot, and that it's a requisite. You're just sticking your head in the sand. You got to keep up with the times, or you'll be left behind. And that feels so wrong to me, because I want to say no. We can, if we don't like it, we can choose to reject this. And I have like a feeling. It's a gut feeling. I can't actually give you facts and figures as to why, but I have a feeling that the people who are a bit slower on AI will turn out to be more employable, more useful, more valuable, and just generally a lot more connected, both to their community. I don't mean connected in an internet sort of sense, but to themselves, to their family, to their community. I feel maybe grounded is the word. So
yes.
So I just want to push back against this idea that it's a requirement. What do you think?
So I use AI in specific cases and very plainly opt out of AI in others. And because I agree, like, there are areas where using it as a tool to accomplish a task makes sense. And there are also areas where I think it cheapens your experience of doing the thing.
Like cycling instead of walking.
Yes. Like cycling instead of walking, or like using one of these overpowered e-bikes versus one that just has like general support so that you never get stuck or whatever.
I didn't mean to be anti-cycle then. Sorry.
Would it be like, for instance, the difference between like walking through a park versus like speeding through a park? If the purpose is just to get to the end faster, sure, the bike is great. But if the purpose
or
is actually
surface roads versus highways.
Yes.
I appreciate you.
Like in the
you
movie Cars, right?
Me to stretch this metaphor far beyond where it was meant to
get
go,
there.
But that's okay.
Together. I absolutely do use AI sometimes on a long read to tell me if it's worth me actually reading it. But I don't use it to read it and like then spout information from it, because I don't trust that. But like, if it gives me a summary where I'm like, that seems like that's useful, I will then go read that. I've done that. I do not use AI in my search at all, in my search engine choices. I've opted out of that entirely because I feel like the majority of the world's internet experience is like a Facebook portal and an Instagram portal. And I like to see more of it than that, you know? And so I am, and also they're very easy to trick. And I'm looking for like things where I definitely want to make sure that the statistics are not made up, or the safety and health elements that I'm looking at are as accurate to whatever study I can find. So like I opt out of it in those cases. But you know, there are areas where like put these two things together and find the differences, like a diff checker for my writing. Cause you know, I'm a prolific writer over the years. Like that's really helpful so that I don't have to personally go through and be like, did I already say that? I said this 10,000 times. Was this one of the 10,000 times? Like that is helpful. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not convincing you. It's fine.
No. I paused because I feel like I'm monopolizing the conversation. I have more to say, but I also, I'm not sure we want to keep moving in the direction of AI is bad.
The one where Luke and Joseph have fought about AI.
Well, no, we agree with each other. We're not fighting. I think we agree.
I think as I'm listening, like we're just pulling back to that for one final time on this thread about like the impact of external events to an ecosystem. Yeah. Like we're right now in the WordPress space. I would describe it a bit as like AI is happening to WordPress, and there are like motivated, well-intended and smart folks who are putting energy into like trying to harness that within the WordPress context. It's going to be interesting to see kind of what comes out of it. And for me, I think the thing that struck me over the years is that, especially at least in open source, there's more opportunity to have an influence on an ecosystem than I think people would recognize. There's a general sense that, oh, I can just leave that to someone else. A product can have a big influence on an ecosystem. The choices that they make, the way that they decide to talk about something or execute can set. We've seen this with things like pricing in the WordPress ecosystem over the years, where a lot of folks will just do what they saw someone else do. So I think that there's, to Luke's comment about agency, when I think about like broader movements and changes, they're actually, on the one hand, like you can't control it. As much as you might like, oh, hey, I don't think anyone else should be using AI. It is going to just continue to happen for a mix of different reasons. You can decide how you relate to it, and then you can decide how you relate to it and talk about it in the products that you're building, and like the tone that you're taking, and like how you talk about those things. And that can have an influence on the partners that you're working with within an ecosystem, on the customers and the experience that you're giving them, and what and how that affects the expectations they have about the products that they work with. I think it's interesting to see also the products that decide to not just go along with a given trend, which can inadvertently become the start of another trend. So I don't know. I find it all fascinating. I've not read Brave New Work. I'll give that a read. That sounds quite interesting.
Local government must be an interesting sort of balance. I've always framed my work as favoring decentralization over centralization. In local government, you sort of have both, right? Because government, it's centralization by its very nature, but also in the local context, each household, each resident is sort of a node in a decentralized network of community. And I feel like that's how also we could frame this AI topic and how you say, Jonathan, it's happening to WordPress. To me, AI is centralization happening to a decentralized web, especially in the context that you brought up, Joseph, as search results. So I guess what I'm asking is, in your city, in the work that you do, is there that consideration of centralization versus decentralization?
I'm going to answer an underlying part of this question first. That applies to both of these contexts, which is that open source and cities are currently experiencing this issue with being able to get information to people, but also being able to get information back from them. It is so hard to hear the people that you're working for right now. And that's true in open source. Like, while I was the ED, so much of my time was begging people for opinions and begging people for information, like clear information that went with their feelings. And gathering folks together to just listen to them talk to each other, because they're more honest with each other than they are with in my case now, their city government. But at the time, with me, like my very presence made people slightly less honest. And so when we look at like a centralized thing that is happening to something that was meant to be decentralized, on the one hand, no one likes this answer, and WordPress didn't like it when I started doing it either. But if you want to get much further than you were when I got there, you have to have some centralized resources just to make it all make sense. And also for efficiency's sake.
The plugin directory is a great example of that.
Yeah. And it's super uncomfortable, especially for open source. It's really uncomfortable for people who find themselves in a democracy, because it's not a direct democracy in a lot of cases. But like in our city, we would absolutely love it if people would show up to our town hall meetings and just be like, I don't love that my taxes go to parks. And then we could figure that out, right? I was desperate half the time in WordPress for someone to show up and not only be like, I hate this thing, but then say, because of this, like, just tell me the because. If you say that everyone you're talking to is hating that thing because of the color of that button, tell me how many everyone's and tell me what the better button might be. And I'll see if we can make those things work out. Mm. But like, the decentralized nature of things is also, in a situation like this, entropy, which can be a catastrophic state for a large organization. Like, I don't know much about the movement of information in WordPress at the moment, but I do know that, like, if you're looking at 43% of the web, that is a ridiculously huge number of people that are actively engaged in the thing that you are working on and passively experiencing the thing that you're working on. And like our next frontier was getting to those passive people, because we had made a tent for them and still couldn't get them. And so like that, the question of how to keep the decentralized value, the value proposition that brings, while also making it easier to accomplish tasks on behalf of those opinions, is a really, really complicated proposition. It is plaguing many open source communities, and certainly it is showing up in local government as well.
Josepha, thank you for the perspective and the context that you shared, and looking forward to seeing the work that you continue to do. If someone wants to get in contact with you, what's the best way for them to do so?
Oh, gosh. If you want to get in contact with me, you can pop over on Blue Sky. I hang out over there a little bit. I'm a little bit over on Threads. It's just Josepha Hayden, like you've always known me. I'm less on Twitter these days. But yeah, those are my normal places. If any of you have me on LinkedIn, you can also send me a message over there anytime.
And are you writing? You have a Josepha.blog. Is that, do you have a site?
I do have Josepha.blog at the moment. It's like bread. it's my recipes for bread, which is not as interesting as the other things that I've written. But I do have a lot of things that I am writing. And gosh, let me tell you, publishing stuff is not easy. Everyone makes it look easy because you only see the final mile, which was already the hardest, most expensive mile you got. But yeah. Beyond that, that's where all the energy goes.
You could just do what Luke does and have AI write it for you, and it would be.
Oh, yeah. I hate you, Jonathan.
Just constant.
You're the worst.
Thank you for joining us, Josepha.
Thanks for having me, guys.